Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock on this November 29th, 2022. We have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mel. How you doing over there in Abbotsford?
Oh, doing okay. How about you over there in Wisconsin Rapids?
Doing pretty good here. Doing pretty good. Waiting for that sun to rise up. That's what I'm waiting
for.
It's a nice day. It's good. Looking good. We are looking at some weather issues, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. Also got other things going on this morning, of course. Nothing but nonstop fun in this hour. We will get into our National Day of calendar. And we got some animal news. It's pretty exciting. Some good news with there we want to get into. It's also, of course, Giving Tuesday. We're going to talk about that. Got some top questions people are looking at into Giving Tuesday. Our favorite holiday smells, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
The number one way to look younger, we are going to dive into that.
Hey. All right.
Yeah, we're going to dive deep into that. No, we're going to research
deeper than skin.
We are going to, nice. We're going to research the heck out of that one. We're going to spend a good hour
on
that.
We're going to give you all the answers.
We're going to find every nook and cranny that we can.
Maybe not. Back up.
Hey, yo.
Let's reverse on that.
Didn't think about that before I said it. Really, I need new writers. I'm firing two of my writers right now off of that line. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day. That ain't right stories. Plenty of fun there. We'll lead you into Morning Magazine, where in part one, we will welcome in our friends from the ADRC, Casey Newmeth. Newmeth is going to be with us. She is the caregiver support coordinator over there at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin.
Good.
And in part two, our good friends Sally Kistner, executive director at the Arts Council, and Eric Brittenacher, performing arts director of the Performing Arts Center, going to be with us to talk about Ted Vigil's Rocky Mountain Christmas. And Ted's going to join us.
Really?
Yeah, we get to talk to Ted Vigil today. I've done my homework on Ted. He's an interesting guy.
That's great. That'll be a good conversation.
It's always fun, and a big thank you to them for bringing in these guests. We love being able to have them on the air with us.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit later today on station here at WFHR, it's a ball night. We got Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Wake Forest. Going to be a good one right there. Tip-off will be at 7. And then a little bit later on our sister station at 7:06, Lincoln High School basketball, as they will be hosting Appleton West. Randy Paul on the call. Don going to run the board. You know it sounds good when those two work together. It's going to be a fun game. Great to have high school basketball on our radio stations, on our sister station, WIRI, and of course here at WFHR all season long.
Yeah.
Looking forward to all that. Get into the rest of our Morning Magazine schedule a little bit later. Mel, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. Same here.
That's good.
Pretty okay morning.
It's a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday, right? We're coasting. We're looking to get to the rest of the week here. That's what a lot of us are doing. I wanted to go over a couple of things real quick with the audience. You know, we used to, when we did this, actually way back in the day, Carl and I and Bob and I, we did this show from 6 to 9 back in the day.
Oh, really?
And we always, and part of the reason we did that was so that we could cover school cancellations, school closings, those kind of things. You know, this is a little before everything was at the tips of your fingers on your phone or your laptop,
right?
And everything.
Or you're getting texts from your school on a regular basis.
We had the morning show taken away from us for a while, and then I fought, like, I'll tell you, I can't even say the words, to get us an hour back. When that happened, and we eventually got our morning show completely back, the three-hour show, Marcus and I, and we were talking about it, and I was telling Marcus, well, we used to do 6 to 9. And he's like, why? And I tell him why. And he's like, okay, but you know you don't have to do that anymore. It's like, you're kind of right. I just assumed that we should go back to 6 to 9. But talking with him and really getting into it, and talking with Pam too and Chuck, and just getting audience feedback, it just made sense to do what we're doing now, this block from 7 to 10. It's just not necessary for us to be here at 6 in the morning anymore. Even though people like Melissa and I are awake at 6 anyway.
Well, yeah, but we're doing other important things.
Very true, especially you. You know, we still have this, though, where we still want to cover this. So Melissa and I, I'm not saying that Seth or anybody else can't participate, but I just, you know, Melissa and I will be kind of spearheading this and taking it on the forefront, looking at it. Now, that doesn't Mel, you kind of already doing that just kind of in general. You cover the news in the morning, so chances are you're probably going to come across school cancellations. And not putting that on you, just saying that, you know, if you incorporate it, makes sense. But with me, I am a junkie when it comes to the news. I still cover the news like it's only me here. And I go over, it's how I start my day. So I'm going to come across that information as well. So we'll still be hitting it. It just might be a little bit, you know, 7 in the morning. I don't know if it's going to be as beneficial to parents as it normally would be.
Right. Well, because they've already gotten notifications from their school.
By that point, you probably know, right?
You've gotten an email, and if you signed up for the text messages, you got that too.
But we still are going to touch on it and still make sure that we hit on it. And, of course, we have the best weather people in the business, and I genuinely mean that. The Weather Eye Weather Center people are incredibly good at what they do. They join us live every morning at 8. They may join us earlier on, you know, specific weather days, days that we know we're going to be hit over the head by Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're certainly going to cover it as best we can here. I can tell you, because our listenership just has reached just so many more aspects of this country, of this state. We're going to cover as much as we can here. Vilas County has got some winter storm warning going on. Oneida has a winter weather advisory. And Price also has a winter weather advisory going on. That's anything outstanding outliers going on weather-wise. That's what we're looking at right now. I did want to also mention something else. Had a great conversation with one of our owners, Mike Kroot. Yesterday, Mike and I had a great conversation. Always enjoy talking with Mike and catching up with him. We've got to make sure to Mike and I got to get to business. Otherwise, we're just going to ramble and probably, you know, either talk Badgers or something like that. And talk with Mike. Really happy with the numbers we're pulling in, and really, really enjoying our streaming numbers especially. But do want to spread the word. Civic Media, all of our stations, especially those of us longtime listeners here at WFHR, you got no excuse not to catch us anymore. We are streaming live and direct. Whoever you get us streaming, you can get us there. We strongly encourage you to download the Civic Media app. For what it's worth, it does not take much room on your phone as far as you know, bandwidth and memory and all that, which I personally don't like having too many apps on my phone, so I like that about it.
And it's very simple.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say that's exactly where I was going, Mel. It's so easy to go from our station to another one if you want to listen to WIRI or a different station. If you listening to our commercial breaks and you hear like Kristen's show or a show that you don't normally get to hear, maybe it's a great way to pull up the podcast and those kind of things.
Yep.
Cannot encourage you enough to not only spread the word about it, but strangers. I don't care going into somebody else in your office and just turn on their streaming. Turn it on to us. We want our.
That's not rude.
Not at all. Not at all. I can't imagine that ending badly. Please don't do that. Don't listen to me. But do listen to me about downloading the Civic Media app and support us. You know, it goes a long way with our what we want to do around here. And, you know, you want us to do more original content. These kind of our streaming numbers are good. We're going to be able to do that. It all, you know, is kind of connected. So encourage people to do that. If you listen to us on the radio, that's wonderful. That's awesome. Maybe in the background have the streaming going. Maybe you can have it on mute. You can have it on mute. Just listen to us on the radio if that's what you want to do. I don't care how you do it. Just we appreciate those numbers being up, and we really, really cannot thank this audience enough. I was explaining to Mike, and I've talked to him about this before, and Sage and him and the people way up top here at Civic Media, they get it. Our audience has been through a lot in the last year. That's not to, of course, what our staff has been through. But looking at the audience has been through a lot, and we have kept our core audience. We have kept our numbers, and man, that is rare, and we are very thankful for it. We want to show that appreciation by being able to do more local content, more local coverage. You know, you heard our election coverage. You hear that we're having more sports on the radio. We want to keep doing these things for you. We could do that when our numbers are up, and we're showing people that, hey, people are listening. People want this content.
Right. Exactly.
want to get into some good stories of the day, and just a couple of them here. We're going to go bang, bang, bang with these. Don't need to go too in depth with them. But as always, I encourage you guys to not just read headlines, do your homework, and research these stories yourself. The first two come to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. In the final hours of a month-long search through rugged jungles swarming with mosquitoes, scientists confirmed the sighting of a bird that hasn't been seen in 140 years.
Wow.
A picture of the ground-dwelling black-naped pheasant pigeon was captured via camera trap and felt to the team like finding a unicorn, quote-unquote, finding a unicorn. Documented to science in 1882 and not seen since then, the black-naped pheasant pigeon is now almost certainly the most endangered bird in New Guinea and reinforces the need to conserve as much of its home of Ferguson Island off the east coast of the mainland. With just hours remaining before their search was called off, expedition co-leader Jordan Bosserman was catching his breath on a hillside while looking through a camera trap phone. Suddenly, I was confronted with the image of what at the time felt like a mythical creature. He talked about it was, without exaggeration, the most surreal moment of my life. It cannot be expressed enough how rare it is to see this bird. As you heard us mention, it's been 140 years since they've seen this thing.
Nobody's alive.
Good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about it that way. But yeah, nobody living has ever seen this bird in real life. The pictures, the documentation of it, the conservation that will come from this, it's really just amazing. And there may even be different species that we find through this.
Wow.
It's kind of cool.
That is really cool.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that all morning this is all that's been on my mind, so I'm just going to get to it right away so we can get it out of the way. The Galapagos Islands are famous for their marine iguanas, their giant tortoises, and their seabirds, but they also host the world's most northerly dwelling penguin. Even though their populations have suffered greatly through the influx of invasive species like feral cats, a determined conservation effort is seeing their numbers rebound. No one quite knows why or how there are penguins on the Galapagos Islands. The working hypothesis, since they are closely related to Humboldt and the Menetic penguins from Africa, is that they caught an ocean current millions of years ago, which brought them somehow all the way around Cape Horn and up to the equator.
Wow.
Man, if I had a time machine...
Yeah.
I want to go back and see how that broke down, and I want to see the look on those penguins' faces.
Where did we end up?
Because penguins are very mellow animals and very casual, but they also can be stressed. And the Galapagos penguins, like their cousins from Africa, dwell in burrows under the ground, but with no soft soil or peat to dig them into, they have adapted to the use of openings of extinct lava tubes from when the island were formed. These were also prime shelter spots for introducing predators on the island, and so penguin expert biologist P.D. Bosserman has been using light machinery to cut new burrows for the penguins into black rock of the other islands, where the burden of introduced predators is either less severe or non-extinct.
That's good, because obviously, predators are going to cause them problems.
Bosserman and her colleagues have dug a total of 120 of these sorts of nests as part of the conservation effort funded by National Geographic and the Galapagos Conservancy and others. And a population census shows their inhabitant, mostly juveniles, have been on the rise. These penguins are making a huge comeback.
That's awesome.
And again, you can find that complete article on thegoodnewsnetwork.org. And we got to go local, right? That's what we do. We are a local radio station, support local. We go to WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, for this next one, and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources conservation biologist Ryan Brady, who shared with us some interesting information about the snowy owl's bright white feathers and their future. They are back. The headline of this article, guess who's back? Despite a slow start to the season, snowy owls dazzling Wisconsin bird watchers.
Awesome.
Snowy owls, also known by their scientific name, Bubo scandinavicus, began their new yearly journey south from the far northern tundra, where they nest in big open areas in cold weather. In the fall, the young owls begin to go out on their own, looking for a wintry territory that somewhat mimics the conditions of the Arctic. I don't know how we should feel about that here in Wisconsin, that these snow owls...
Well, I mean, there are moments. Mm-hmm. Some of us feel it more than others.
Mm-hmm. It might be the airports or other grasslands and fields, says Brady, or it might be a shoreline that has a waterfall. This year, the first snowy owls that migrated to Wisconsin were spotted in October. So far this fall, they have been seen in Superior, Ashland, and Marathon County. The start to snowy owl season has been slow this season, says Brady. In some years, dozens would have been seen by now. Each year, bring dozens to hundreds of snowies to Wisconsin. Snowies is what they call them. That's good.
That's cute.
Although the numbers vary year to year with natural population changes. You get these big fluctuations from year to year in the number of snowy owls that are on the landscape, not just in Wisconsin, but the entire country. This year, they're hoping to see a good number. They're looking at a little bit better than average number of these guys, so we may be able to see some.
Awesome. That would be cool to see in the wild.
We were just talking about owls yesterday and everything, and I've never seen a snowy owl, but I just looking at the pictures of them and everything, I thought owls are pretty magnificent. These are just incredibly impressive animals.
And the cool thing is they're active during the day, so you can see snowy owls easier.
Yeah, yeah.
During the daytime.
That's a great point, yeah. One more article I did want to touch on. Conservationists aim to protect songbirds in Wisconsin as its population sees a steep decline. This is just another one of those articles. Again, you can find it at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's incredibly interesting and important, and it's a great way of researching and bringing awareness to these animals, because in the last 10 to 15 years, they've seen their numbers kind of declining in the northern central part of the state, and there's been a real effort to keep these animals healthy and around, and so that many generations can enjoy them, and also important, a part of the food chain. All these animals are, but certainly songbirds, one of those animals, take care of insects, help many of our plants, grow and all these things. Many things.
Help with, pollination and all of that.
Pollination is the word I was looking for. Thank you, Melissa.
Yes. You're welcome.
All those big words I was just saying, and I couldn't think of the word pollination.
Pollination. There it is.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. It's all right. I'll fix this all in post. None of this is live.
Exactly. Nope.
I'm not going to be. I'm not going to let the audience hear me talking ridiculous. Oh, thank God for editing. All right. So we'll just take it back right here, Mel. Okay. And one and two and that's that.
And we're back.
We're back. All right. We'll take a quick. Imagine if I did that to Seth. We'll have a 3-second delay so that Seth can do some like quick editing on the fly every 5 seconds when I mess up a word. We'll take a quick commercial break. Come back. We're on National Day of Calendar. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here on WFHR, 7:24 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. It is time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this November 29th, and it's National Lemon Cream Pie Day.
Ooh, lemon cream pie is good.
I haven't had it since I was a kid, but I didn't mind it. I'm not huge on lemon, but lemon, that's not too bad.
Well, because it's got the tart and then the meringue on top, which is, fluffy and sweet. So it's a good
stuff. Yeah. Electronic Greetings Day.
Ah.
You remember all of those sometimes cute, sometimes funny, and sometimes downright obnoxious electronic greeting cards that used to appear in the your email inbox? Well, if you hadn't guessed it, there's actually a day devoted to electronic greetings. Fittingly, the day is known as Electronic Greeting Day.
Oh, gee, I don't know if you could get any more concise.
Yeah, I don't even think, I feel like I just wasted everybody's time there. I just, we kind of get it. I was expecting there to be a little bit more to that, though. All right. We'll keep on moving here, and let's see. What else do we have going on for today? It is also National Did I lose Melissa? I lost my co-host. I are you there, Melissa?
I am here now.
There you are.
You lost me for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was adding more important details on Electronic Greetings Day, but you weren't
nice.
Listening. So.
I didn't hear a word of it. No,
I realized that after you kept talking. You weren't just being rude and talking over me.
Right. I tend to do that maybe once or twice a week. I don't want to look at those numbers. I don't. Did you want to repeat anything?
I was just saying it's a good day to just send somebody a text that you don't normally reach out to.
Oh, see, I'm glad you said that. I didn't think of it that as an electronic greeting, but you're absolutely right.
It is.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I definitely wanted your take on this one. It is also Throw Out Your Leftovers Day.
Yeah. So I only actually have one leftover. I'm surprised. I have just a few sweet potatoes in my fridge yet.
I know that we all like to make use of leftovers, and there's nothing like Thanksgiving leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who are fidgety about that stuff, and they will still eat Thanksgiving leftovers. You know?
Yeah.
But you don't want anything in there for too long.
No. They recommend 3 to 4 days is about the length, so today's day 5.
You don't want your food to come back to life. You don't want it to have a heartbeat. You don't need zombie turkey. You don't need that.
Not so much.
Doesn't sound good.
No, we had a smorgasbord of leftovers last night for dinner, which I paired with a whole roasted cauliflower.
Mm.
Have you ever roasted an entire cauliflower?
No.
It's a really cool presentation at the table. Just roasted ball of cauliflower that's coated in butter and herbs and... It's so good.
It does sound really good. It sounds very good, yeah. Let's see here. It is also national, we're going to get more into this, but it's National Day of Giving. National Day of Giving takes place on Tuesday directly after American Thanksgiving, which in turn takes place on the fourth Thursday of November. National Day of Giving was created to help the giving season get started, reminding people that there is more to holidays than consumerism and commercialization. We'll get more into this in a little bit, but this is certainly a great day. We have so many incredible nonprofits in our area, one of those days to give to them. Now, I think that most people think of Giving Tuesday as dollars and cents, and that's certainly greatly appreciated and certainly needed. We have many of our friends out there that are in campaign season and can go very far to where they where they're going to fund things, how much money we can put into this, how much money we can put into that. So that goes farther than we could ever word. But I would also say that there are plenty of people out there that want to give that don't have anything left. Maybe they got some free time. Maybe they can help out volunteering. All of our nonprofits have great opportunities when it comes to that. And there's certainly things like we're going to talk to the ADRC in a little bit. Mm-hmm. In a couple hours. There is Meals on Wheels, which is one of the greatest volunteer opportunities that exists, period. End of sentence. It's not a big time commitment, and what you get out of it is just as much as these people receiving these meals.
Mm-hmm. You could also donate blood.
That's another great way.
Or you could donate things you don't need to a charity or a Goodwill or a school, pajama drive. Or there's lots of things you can do. It doesn't always have to be money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also National Square Dancing Day.
Woohoo! Have you ever square danced?
Yes, because I went to public school.
I don't know if they do that anymore.
I was just thinking of this the other day. I just did not the other day. It was about 3 weeks ago, but I did a sketch in at Second City. Me and another teacher did where we were talking about this. We were talking about so the sketch was that the end of the world is happening, and the only thing that will save it is if we could square dance together, and thank God they taught us. This is why they taught us square dancing. Like, we couldn't figure out why they taught us square dancing in grade school or whatever, junior high or whatever that was. It was always a part of gym class.
Oh, yeah. It's a physical activity.
Yeah, yeah. But it was also a way to keep us busy. It was like, okay, how do we fill out the year here? We'll make them dance.
Dance has an important place in history.
Absolutely.
And the development of humans, really.
I love dancing all forms of dancing, square dancing, break dancing, the mamba. I don't care what it is. I love doing it. But don't tell me it isn't a reach that they were doing, having included in gym class. I mean, I get you. I hear you completely. And I see the point of it, et cetera, et cetera. Let's not get it twisted here, though. I mean, it wasn't exactly like a part of, wasn't as integral to our, you know, growth. Nobody didn't graduate high school because you did horrible in like square dancing.
Well, no, it's not like you can fail, but it does include other activities into a gym class that aren't just sports related, you know?
True.
I mean, now, and here I am defending this, where this is the only section of gym class in high school where I got injured.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because my dance partner stepped on my ankle.
Oh.
Like, literally, whole ankle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll admit.
You and me, fishing in the dark, Justin Whitmer. You know what? And he's the only guy that whose name I really remember from high school. But I would be an advocate for it.
Mel's doing the show. I can't talk. I'm just you remember the name.
Yep, sure do.
I will say that when I first learned, because I like learning new dances and I like dancing in general, I've got clown shoes for feet. So mm-hmm. I am definitely going to, I have stepped on some toes. I will admit that. But I've never stepped out of the ankle. That's rough. That's a rough one. No. So, you know, square dancing is fun. It's exciting. I want to see what the history of this one is, though. Trying to see if we can find, like, when it started. So square dancing has its roots in traditional English, Irish, and Scottish folk dance. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Square dances were first documented in the 17th century England. They came to North America right along with European settlers, where they were modified and improved over the years. The Western American square dance is perhaps the most famous type of square dance worldwide. In fact, the square dance is the official dance of 19 American states.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
And it was all over Europe, too.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I'll be completely honest. Would not have guessed that at all. Mm-hmm. That is pretty cool. That is pretty interesting.
The neat thing about square dancing is you have somebody that does the calling. So they call out what steps you use so that everybody can do it, you know, without having the dance memorized.
Yeah.
Like to be able to do the samba or even a waltz mm-hmm. or a salsa, you need to know all the different moves, and somebody leads and somebody follows. Well, with a square dance, you don't dance like that. You dance in a square.
You ever tangoed, Mel?
I would like not officially, but yes.
Mm. So much fun.
Yeah.
Gotta love to do that dance.
My brother and I used to do that in the living room to make our mom laugh.
Nice. Awesome. That's it. Yeah, nothing like making mom laugh. The things that we do. yeah, that could be a whole other segment right there. Uh-huh. I think we can go back and forth on that one. Mm-hmm. And finally, it's National Chocolates Day.
Oh, good day.
Chocolate is one of the greatest pleasures that life has to offer, providing hope in the darkness of what might be an otherwise drab culinary experience.
And who doesn't like chocolate?
Yeah.
I have a funny story to share quick. Mm. So my boyfriend got a text that his 4-year-old nephew has found a new way to sneak chocolate. So the other day he got up at 4 a.m., found 2 chocolate Christmas trees, ate them while watching cartoons, and threw away the evidence and washed his hands. Kid's 4.
Yeah, this is my kind of kid. I love this kid.
So Aaron had to ask, you know, how'd he get caught?
Yeah.
It's like, well, he threw the wrappers in the bathroom garbage.
Oh,
so mom
dang.
Saw them. And when he was questioned, he confessed.
Almost the perfect crime. Almost.
Yep,
the fact almost. That he washed his hands, that's...
Yep.
It's too good. I'm going to be laughing about that. And Jamie stepping on your ankle. I'm gonna be
Justin. You're close.
We will go to Melissa's news. We'll come back. We'll get into the top questions we're Googling about Giving Tuesday. That's coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. On a bright. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Oh, I like that. That's a good choice. That's a good choice. Nicely done, Seth. Melissa.
Well, and an opportunity to reach out to our fellow Americans in Hawaii and say, I hope you're having a good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the night there, but still.
It is middle of the night there. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you would know. yeah, really, I can't take my my eyes off of the news over there, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not every day a volcano's going off on our planet.
No.
And these are the kind of things that literally, like, I think one of the greatest ways to show how connected we all are and how much we need each other and how, you know, detrimental divisiveness can be is the weather.
Yes.
You know, we have horrible, you know, fires going on in California. They affect us here, our skies here. A volcano goes off over there. We're going to see the remnants of it over here in our skies. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need another reminder that we're all connected and we need each other to get through this life, man, the weather is going to show you every time. Mother Nature is undefeated. There is nothing that competes with her.
Nope. And we got to take care of our planet. But fortunately, last report I saw, people are safe. There's, you know, voluntary evacuations, but all schools are open. So they're doing all right.
Thankfully hear that, yeah. So today is Giving Tuesday. We were just discussing that in our last segment. And want to dive right into what are the top questions we are Googling about Giving Tuesday.
Okay.
A recent poll for it found 93% of us think of ourselves as generous. So let's get out there and prove it.
Yes.
According to Google, here are the top questions we are Googling. When is Giving Tuesday? That is the first one that we're Googling. It's a good thing to Google.
It's probably good to know when it is.
Seems like a good place to start.
Logical question.
Always the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving. It sort of piggybacks on top of Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What is Giving Tuesday? Well, instead of buying stuff for yourself, it's about being generous and donating. The first Giving Tuesday was back in 2012. So today marks the 10th anniversary.
You know, this almost seems a little backwards, though. This should have come before Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I think in a very, you know, I mean, of course it should. And I think that a lot of us can agree with that and hear you on that, Mel. What I think we've done is adapt. We've kind of seen this. We've seen that we've over kind of emphasized consumerism, and that's why you hear so many people since we were kids. So over 40 years that they've been talking about, hey, you know, Christmas isn't just about giving gifts and it's not just a material holiday. That's because they kind of overdid it way before you and I got here, and now kind of correcting it. And same thing with you know, trying to make sure, hey, the day after Thanksgiving seems like a great day to get people out there and to buy stuff. And that's important. Right. That's an important part of our economy. Mm-hmm. It gets the black eye, but it really is. We need that. So,
and it's the prep for Christmas.
Yeah. So that makes sense. But then, you know, we start to realize, oh, wait a minute, we're forgetting about mom and pop businesses. So we should have something for that. So let's have Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday.
You know, and then we realize, oh, wait a minute, what about our nonprofits? We're not helping them and everything. So, it all makes sense. But I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I think that that's a good point to make while we're talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
I do think that I shouldn't say I think. I know of some people like my mom and dad that they let us know every year, hey, we're saving our money for Giving Tuesday. So that's what they do. Now, it is a little bit easier for them. All their kids are in their 30s at the very youngest. So a little easier for them to do that. But, you know, it's something that even as a kid, my parents were very honest about and very, hey, you know, my mom really cared about Amnesty International, you know, the United Way, causes like that. So maybe we didn't have as many, you know, things that we got, like my brother and sister, but they knew those things.
Right.
There's ways to incorporate this to where kids even feel like they're giving, because my mom made it very clear to us, you guys are a part of this too. You guys are donating this too.
It's coming from the family.
Right. How to set up Giving Tuesday on Facebook. I wanted to finish the stats on this Giving Tuesday. So again, this marks the 10th anniversary. More than 85 countries are involved now. America alone gave about $2.7 billion last year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's nice. An important stat. That should be out there. How to set up Giving Tuesday on Facebook. That's one way people donate. Just go to facebook.com/fundraisers and it walks you through it. You can choose a charity to give to or to start a fundraiser to get your friends to donate. Is that what a lot of people do for their birthdays? I see a lot of people do that.
I see that sometimes on birthdays, yeah.
I've seen those, but I have not. If I see like somebody is raising money for homelessness, and I see that, I end up donating on their birthday to a cause that's outside of Facebook, essentially.
Yeah, I'm pretty leery about clicking on any links in Facebook in general. Yeah. To be honest, ones that are asking for money, even more so.
Anything I open off of social media, I do it in the incognito on my Chrome.
Hmm.
And not to say that that's the complete safeguard that it's supposed to be and everything, but
another layer of protection.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't trust social media, I use it. I also don't begrudge it and everything. It's a good starting point.
No, it's a useful tool.
I've mentioned this before about Twitter. I don't like Twitter, but it is what it is. It's if there is breaking news, it usually happens on Twitter. So if you're in the industry we're in, you're almost foolish not to be looking at it. Now, I don't use it as verbatim, especially right now with everything Elon's done with that site and that company and everything. But if I see something, then okay, that's my tipping point. That's my starting point. And then I take that and I go ahead and I do my homework. I research. Is this true? Is this factual? But I would say 7 out of 10 times the information, whether it's correct or not, the story is correct. The breaking news tends to be correct.
Right. And I mean, the fact that everybody can access it, at least in this country, as a way to get news out. Look at what's happening in China right now. They're trying to stop people from accessing it because they don't want the rest of the world knowing what's going on over there.
Yep.
But because people have Twitter and Instagram, they're able to get the word out of what is going on in some of these places. Iran, the same thing.
So much of the Middle East, unfortunately, like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. finally, is Facebook matching Giving Tuesday? Yes, but they changed it up this year. It might already be over. They usually match the first few million bucks people donate and always hit the number within seconds. This year, they're doing it with recurring donations, so people who sign up to donate monthly could have it matched after their second monthly payment. The hope is it'll help charities keep bringing in money even after the holidays.
Hmm.
Facebook capped the total amount they'll be given, $7 million, so that's the most. They're matching up to $100 per donation and up to $100,000 per nonprofit.
Well, good. That's good on them for doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's,
$7 million is a drop in the bucket for them.
Right.
But.
Right. But that doesn't, that doesn't take away from the fact that they're doing. I think we can do two things on these, where we can look at something and say, hey, they could definitely be doing more. And hey, look at the damage that they have caused. They owe it, you might say, if anything, in an organic sense, they do. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't take away from the fact of what they're doing.
That they are doing it.
Yeah. So. We're still talking millions here. It's a little different where, Jeff Bezos is giving like 10 grand to something or whatever. Like, I mean, come on, man. If you're not hitting the millions as a billionaire, then what are you doing? I say this all the time. I don't like talking about other people's money. That's their business and everything. They do what they do with it. But you can't be coming out and talking about how charitable you are. And, everybody in the world knows you're the richest guy in the world. And you're giving away like 20 grand. Like, that doesn't add up, man. I'm sorry. That's like me giving away $5. That's not
like me finding a quarter in the couch.
Yeah.
and donating it to something.
Doesn't take away from the fact that they're still giving, just, you know, accountability. Come on.
Right.
We will take a quick commercial break, come back, and get into some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Mel and James here with you at 7:53 on the clock. And Melissa, as we are in our final days of November, and I don't know what happened to November, it just flew right by. I thought it might be fun to kind of do something going forward where we kind of went over the past month. We get so kind of like looking ahead, especially in this industry. You know, everything in radio is timing, and that doesn't just mean the day of, but setting things up for months in advance, sometimes weeks in advance, all that. So we get really caught up in tomorrow. We don't look back very often, and we have such an exciting, fun, unique job. And we have so many cool people join us throughout the month. I thought it'd be fun to kind of touch on it. First off, want to certainly send a shout out to all of our co-hosts, everybody that puts up with me on the air. Thank you so very much. Melissa, first and foremost, and Seth, of course. But Terry Johns, Beth Habhager, you know, Katrina Hintner is going to join us tomorrow. They get great people that join us monthly, and I really greatly appreciate them doing this. So many of them, while Seth and Melissa, of course, are on the clock, you know, we have people that come in here and they give their time. And I try to even that out by talking about their nonprofit or their business or what have you. That still doesn't, I don't know if it evens out. And I hope it does. And I hope it does for them, because we greatly appreciate them joining us. Melissa and I got to kick off the month talking to Santa.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
He's a jolly old soul.
He's a great guy. In fact, I still have the little something right up here.
I do, too.
That's so great.
I should put it on my desk. It's still in my jacket pocket, but I felt it the other day when I put my jacket on, and it made me smile.
Yeah. We do want to thank who organized this for us to talk to Santa, and that is the great Ronald Berry. And Ron is a great guy. Ron may still join us sometime in December to read some letters from Santa, or to Santa.
Nice.
I've been talking to Ron about this, and he's our hookup with Santa here, so we'll see. But I did want to mention, though, Ron and his team set up a great GoFundMe page. And they have a fundraiser going on right now, the Santa Cause. It's a supportive weekly video series for children, parents, and the community dealing with contemporary family issues and values. The Santa Claus is a We Us production in connection with the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media.
Nice.
They have this great GoFundMe page. You just go to GoFundMe.com, and you'll be able to find it. Just type in the Santa Cause, that's C-A-U-S-E, and help them do what they're doing there. And it'll help your community at the same time.
Awesome.
It's a really cool thing that they're doing. So that was week one. And then a little bit later, we had
That letterbox is probably still up, right? For kids to put their
letters to Santa in? I believe so, yes. From what I'm seeing, I believe it is, yes.
Awesome.
That first week, we also got to talk to the Central Chamber Chorale. That was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed talking with them. And, of course, we had the election. That was a
big
time around
that
here.
That was this month.
Yeah,
wow.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, it seems like November went really fast, but when you say that, that was forever ago, James.
It does, right? It seems like it was at the very least, it seems like it was a month ago.
And it wasn't even that.
A gigantic shout out to our civic media team, specifically our news team that worked literally into the end of the night to bring you that coverage. You know, locally here, we want to send, of course, a big shout out to our head of news and the best in the business, in Melissa Kay. Everybody did a great job in civic media. Nobody sounded like you, Mel. And that's not a shot at anybody.
James.
That's me just wanting to give credit to somebody that I think deserves it. Melissa comes from a news background, and I think that part of the reason I wanted you in this team is because of your background, and it paid dividends earlier this month during the election coverage. It showed, and you did an incredible job. I feel like you should be nominated for a WBA award. I think all of civic media should be, and anything short of that is not respectful. You did a great, great job, and I'm very proud of you, Mo.
Thank you. I got to give a huge shout out to, of course, obviously the whole team, but also to Joanne from our Rapids location, because she was up until like 2 a.m. that night.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that, too. Yeah. She deserves a shout out as well.
Yeah. She kept going. She was a real trooper.
We got to talk to Lori from Fantasy Custom Shop. That was a lot of fun. And Carol from Your Living Essential Oils, that was that was a wonderful time. On the 16th, we had the United Way Radiothon. That was successful and a lot of fun. We really enjoyed doing that and look forward to doing it again next year. And then last week, we had the Evangelical Church joining us. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we really enjoyed that.
That was good information. And what a great cause that they're working toward with Mary's Place.
Really important and deep conversation, but really fun, too. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. And just have had a great time all month long with all these great guests. And, of course, December going to bring even more wonderful guests and great people. One of those great people that we're looking to have on the air with us at some point, even though she doesn't have to technically do it anymore, I still want to make Heather put up with me on the air. The Nakusa Christmas is this weekend. Our great friend Heather Sayers is hosting the Christmas Craft Show at the Nakusa Community Center on Saturday, December 3rd, this Saturday from 9 to 3. We encourage you to check that out. They're going to have Santa visits as well down there.
Ooh, so probably a chance for pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Be sure to check that out, everybody. That
and
is
great time to shop local. Keep your dollars here and right in our county, more than likely.
You're so right about that. And you're supporting local people, local craft makers, that kind of thing. And
excellent time to get Christmas shopping done, those unique gifts that you're not going to find anywhere else.
It's a great, yeah, and I don't know about you, Mel, but for people like me, my mom, that's all she'll take.
But she doesn't want another coffee mug with your face on it that says, I love you, Mom?
Nope, no more Coca-Cola stuff. the birds thing, she's had enough of that. So you got to find those original things. Nope. Got to find those original items. You can find them at the Nakusa Craft Fair. That's going to be a lot of fun. And the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce has Santa visits at Riverside Park in Nakusa from 5 to 7, starting Sunday, December 4th. Books from Santa, sponsored by the Nakusa Library. And then Thursday, December 8th, Pictures in the Park, sponsored by Badger Marine, and plenty of more great events. Be sure to check those out. And keep in mind that that is all sponsored by our sister station, WIRI, along with Edward Jones in Nakusa.
Awesome.
We'll talk more about that throughout the week here, but plenty more coming up. Stick around, everybody. We'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center and much more in the 8 o'clock hour here on Mornings at WFHR.